Jazz. Gotta love jazz. Is there anything more true than jazz? I mean, basically, the principle behind jazz is you're listening and feeling where the music's gonna go. So you're paying attention, and based on what you're hearing, you're using the skills that you have and whatever instrument you're amazing at to just flow in that moment. Life? It's like life, absolutely. I mean, what more can be said about flow and jazz and living life than just the music? You're listening, you're paying attention. What we call in the Marine Corps situational awareness. Always being aware of your surroundings, the people around you, the exits, the entrances, where people are placed, where they place themselves. You know, it's important to be aware of our surroundings. So just like the jazz musician has to listen closely to what's going on, where they fit, the pattern they see, feel in their mind and their heart. That's what's important. If you want to hear good jazz, you want people who know where they fit in the pattern, instinctually. Are you one of those people? Even if you're not on 24 hours a day, maybe you've had a time when you plugged in, you listen. Now for me, it's hand drums, percussion. And I can feel a beat, just jump in, especially if it's one I like. Feel it deep down in my bones. See if we can get a little more jazz here. Oh, it's breaking up. And just like when jazz breaks up, you lose. Oh, we're done. Oh, internet connection. Huh? Just like a jazz, when you lose that connection, things get a little hinky, right? They don't gel. They don't fit together. Things feel rough. You can't follow your gut. You know, and if you can't follow your gut, you're probably in trouble anyway. I've learned over many, many moons of not listening to my gut. And it's a particular feeling when I say I'm listening to my gut. There's a very particular kind of flutter and location that I feel when I feel my gut. When my subconscious, my back brain is trying to tell me something that my conscious isn't picking up on. You know, and I always know when I'm not on. Always. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. we still going? Oh my God, we are still going. Well, I guess in line with the fact of doing jazz, we just keep going. So I went and picked up my drop line. And I'm going to leave a note. Follow for up for updates. For updates and the truth. Alright. Just a little bit of jazz. So what we're talking about is jazz. Sorry for that break. I guess that, good thing I said we'll be right back. So I had to pick up a drop light. And what that was for was teach a class, an art class, with the young Rembrandts. What we do is we teach art basics to kids in elementary schools in their after-school programs. So, simply put, we give kids an opportunity to learn what they need to learn to open up. Because art is a reflection of life. What is life but a question? Initially, right? If you don't have the truth, what's life about? What's going on? So here at Perfecting Potent Proofs, what's a proof? What's perfecting? What's potent? We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about all of those, your definitions, what it means to apply them, and how you can apply the truth as a potent proof in your life through your actions and your engagements with those around you. Because, let's face it, when we die, and that is the truth of life, getting ready for and preparing for our deaths, when you die and you're standing before death's door, not knowing what's on the other side for any type of certainty, knowing that your thoughts were the only thoughts that really mattered, the thing that mattered most was how you interacted with those you met and engaged with in your life. I'm not telling you this to feel guilty or for you to feel bad about anything that you've done. We've all done things. We've all lived life like we didn't know what the hell was going on. And trust me when I tell you that love is not going to hold it against you, because love doesn't reject. Love accepts. Accepts you right where you're at, because you're perfect and unique. There's never going to be another one like you, ever. And that has value. You have value. So, what I'm going to be doing now is y'all are joining me on an errand to go get a drop light, which I picked up. Now we're going to head back to our lair, the truth lair. So, until I get into a position that's completely 100% copacetic to be talking, let's listen to some jazz. Anyway, it's from the album Some Kind of Blue by Miles Davis. Here we go. Yeah. Wow. That's what I'm talking about. Just easing into it. We're going to have a little bit of static as we're getting out of the island. So, Some Kind of Blue Some Kind of Blue was an amazing album. Absolutely amazing. In short, what Miles did on the way into the recording studios, he just jotted down these chord progressions, the ones that made sense to him. And when they went in, shared the chord progressions, probably ran through it a time or two. I'm not exactly sure exactly what happened when he got up there with the chord progressions. But let me tell you, they absolutely did jam. If Some Kind of Blue is not the paramount jazz album that's ever been made, it is certainly a standard. I'm not sure who's playing this, if it's that album, but I know they started out with a song definitely written by Miles Davis. Tell you what, Alameda has some of the best housing and homes I've ever seen in my life. And I've been to six states. I've lived in six states. And I've been to 44 states, especially when I was a truck driver. And I was in the Marines. Let me tell you, I've been around. I have seen a lot of things. And Alameda has an absolutely gorgeous housing residential area. I mean, it used to be a base, a naval base, and man, it is just so nice. Every house is interesting and unique. I want to go into every single one of them. They all look amazing. I mean, you know, I've asked people, we've debated whether, or how big of a, hey, Stanish, how you doing? Oh, here we go. Okay, I see you, Astonished Sal. How y'all doing? Hey, am I in Colorado? No. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. And just to bring you up to date, I don't know if you heard, but we were talking about jazz and improvisational styles and just flowing, what it means to flow. And just settling in. Oh, that's Sal, it's boring. What's boring? You know, a chat is a difficult thing to watch, I must admit, because sometimes, well, not sometimes, most of the time I just want to get into a groove of talking and visiting. I love call-ins. Call-ins are the best because it's that interaction, you know, where two or more are gathered, they say. That's where interest is. So in engaging others, especially in regards to jazz, because that's what I was talking about, and that's what we were listening to when we started the show, jazz is very improvisational. You know, you take what you got, the skills that you got, and you go into a session, a jazz session, where you're going to sit down, whether it's drums or jazz, saxophone, tenor saxophone, cello, bass, and you're going to take those skills, and you're going to listen for the cues that are coming in. And it's a slippery kind of slide. I don't know how many of you listening, or if you, Sal, or you, Astonish, if y'all have ever done, oh, I'm driving, but I'm also broadcasting on Bluetooth, so I'm not touching anything. I'm just driving. Might as well be sitting in the car seat next to me visiting, because that's essentially what we're doing. And trust me, I spent over 22 years in transportation, operations and logistics. I am the last person who's going to be okay with anybody texting or handling their electronic equipment while they're talking and driving. That's not a safe practice to engage in. Nope, not safe. That's why I love my Dodge Ram. I'm not going to be a commercial, but I like it. It's a diesel. It's going to last 20 years. I can keep up with the maintenance, but it's got this nice, wonderful Bluetooth where I just talk into the air. Looks like I'm just talking to myself, I suppose. So what have you been up to, Sal? That much, huh? So I think I've talked about the truth to you, but what I had said at the beginning, or you had to have been in one of the shows, I'm sure. Did you know Drew and Sneaky Elbow? Certainly what perfecting phone proofs is about. Now, I like the first premise. Let's say perfect, perfecting. What is perfecting? It's a state of being, it's a state of becoming. And I know you had to have heard, like everybody else, there isn't anything perfect. Let me ask you a question. Is there another you anywhere in the universe? I mean, all the way, another duplicate you, a copy, all the way down to the molecule. Are you unique? Are you the only you? Certainly, we could say without hesitation, we're the only ones here in this moment. So, if you're the only one that exists, if you're unique, then by definition, nobody does you better than you. In fact, I say you do you perfectly. What does that mean? That means if everyone is unique, then everyone can do themselves perfectly. No one can understand or define Sal other than Sal. No one can define Adrian Yobi Blumberg, Adrian Yobi Pascal Blumberg, but me. So I would challenge the notion that there's no thing perfect. I would say everything is perfect. What definition am I using? That's easy. We're true to our form and perfect in our function. There is no other Adrian to compare me to. I'm it. No Sal to compare it to. You're it. And I had to carry that for many months. Many months. Probably, okay, maybe a year, year and a half before I started believing that if that's true, then the only mistakes I can make are the mistakes I don't learn from. That makes them lessons. So, in learning and engaging with the world around me, if I make it to death's door without having learned those lessons and deployed them in a way that benefits myself first and those around me to maximum effect, that then I've made a mistake. Because let's face it, when we stand before death's door, and we all go through it alone, we know at that moment whether we've done good enough or not. We know because we are that judge and jury and executioner. So if I'm going to make it through death's door and be okay with it, the best scenario is to know in my heart that I've always done my best. How can I know that? That led me to, well, is there another me? So here at Perfecting Potent Proofs, what's potent about this proof is I like the simplicity of the proof I'm about to give. Look, nobody's going to argue with 2 plus 2 equals what? 7? No. 4. Period. End of story. Thank you. Go home. You're done. Sorry, went a little marine there. My point is that in my search for the truth, and if you earnestly seek after truth, you will find it. I had to have something I could stand on and nobody could knock out from underneath me. I had too many times where I drew my pearls, quote unquote, before swine, quote unquote. I was giving something of great value to those who did not value it. And in doing so, when the chips were down and I needed help, there was nobody. And I was depending on them for the help. I couldn't even help myself because I didn't trust myself. I didn't care enough about myself to be my own best foundation. When people say, "Oh, you love yourself, that's selfish." only if you're not engaging others and ultimately being loving. So what is this base potent proof that is essentially the basis of this podcast, Perfecting Potent Proofs? All right. So, I find it incredibly funny that the only certain thing in life is the one thing everybody wants to avoid. I know you know what I'm talking about. Death. You can get slippery and slidey about any topic, any subject, anybody wants to put down. Right? But the one thing that we know for certain, we're all going to die, nobody wants to talk about it. You know, so I decided, all right, let's think about death. And in thinking about death, the absolute subjectivity of it, nobody's going through it with you. Nobody's running to join you. And subjectivity, ultimately, of my experience in life, I said, well, let me see if I could quantify it into understandable terms. So I put zero, the number zero, as symbol of death. Death being something we cannot ultimately know what's beyond it with any certainty. So what's beyond death other than our lack of knowledge is nothing, zero. And life, I gave the number one. Now you might say, how are you arbitrarily assigning the numbers? I'm not. Not assigning arbitrary numbers, because one is me, I'm alive, it's life. And the reason why it doesn't go up to two or three is because life is subjective. It's always one. And it's the only view I can experience it with. Two, death being zero, life being one, how can I know and judge my actions to see whether they've been good or not? Okay, using logical reasoning, what I then decided was that life has one basic function then, right? When you're born, when you exist, that's a plus from a zero stance of nothing, because we don't know what's before birth, so that's a zero. If you're alive, if you have life, and can enact in reality, our reality, that's a plus. You now exist. There's something been added to existence. And if you subtract something from existence, like, or just stay neutral, that's not adding anything to life. Right? Or it's taking life, or taking something from life. So, what life is a function. So how can I know if I do good things? If I engage in an action? Sal, if you'd like to, or anybody would like to call in and give me some examples. I think it would be constructive to this short lesson. But if not, I'll pitch one out. Okay, let's say I invent a widget. I come up, it's in my mind, and thoughts are just thoughts until you have a means to put them into reality, into action. So I gather together what resources I have and I make a widget. Widgets never existed before, and the widget helps everybody with X, Y, or Z. So I make the widget, it didn't exist before, and it's a benefit, it helps people. So that's a plus. It stays one. It's a one by its existence, and there's no negative aspects that subtract it to zero. And I'm still trying to perfect this potent proof. My girl, Sabrina, my life partner, she very much says this needs a little bit of tooling. She's very logic-minded. She's got two master's degrees, a degree in entomology and landscape architecture. I have a degree in history, a double minor in anthropology and sociology. So, I mean, right there you can tell I like people. I like observing people, making observations, seeing the meta patterns. So I have a couple of people, by the way, that we're in discussions of being co-hosts for the show. Of course, anybody can be a host, especially if you call in and they have a really fun engagement with myself or any of the other hosts. And hopefully those hosts that I'm in talks with will agree to come on board. I think it would be a very potent panel, if so. Because who doesn't deserve, when we're talking about something so absolutely important as the truth in this world of fake news, than to have truth that's well vetted, right? Not that that would abrogate anybody from their own exercise to vet everything that they come in contact with, because if you accept anything at face value, you're setting yourself up to be a fool. Nobody wants to be fooled, certainly not me, not I. So the first potent proof for perfecting potent proofs that we're putting out there is the one truth we can count on in life is we're all going to die. Placed a symbolic value of zero on death, or what exists before birth, that which we do not know is a zero. And what the one thing we know for certainty is a one, life. So if you're born, guess what? You're a one. And it stays one. Doesn't mean me and Sal make two. It stays one because existence is a subjective experience. Period. And the objective truth of that subjective experience is that we are all going to die. It's the only thing we can all agree on. Is there good in the world? Absolutely. Is there evil in the world? I would have to theorize that there's somebody that knows this truth and is manipulating it and using it against us knowingly. It's hard for me to imagine because I wouldn't do it. That would be evil. So that's our first perfecting potent proof, is that the one certainty we have is that we're going to die. And that that value is one. That death's value assigned for this purposes of this show is zero or symbol. Always open to suggestions, always open to thoughts. Let's see what kind of jazz we got going on here. Ooh. All right, we're going to take a little break. Listen to some free will and freestyling jazz. thing. I love jazz. I can't think of a more perfect genre of music to start out perfecting potent proofs in jazz. That flow, the listening, situational awareness. I say thank you for joining us today. I'll be back more often than not. Thank you for joining. And let your friends know that there's a place where they can find the truth. Heck, vet it yourself and share it. And I guarantee you, when you stand on truth, and you don't build your house on sand, you're going to find what you need to find. And you're going to feel better about everything that you do. That is a yoga guarantee. All right.